Thank you. It's good to be here. I have the privilege of working with Wilmer. He actually trained me in everything that I know how to do. So if you have any complaints, talk to him. If there's anything that you like about anything that I do, you can just, you know, talk to me. No, talk to him too. But seriously, I did in my journey as a believer was introduced to the Victorious Christian Living Conference, the truths that are now contained in what we know as SALT, some 15 years ago, and they so impacted my life so dramatically that I stopped doing what I was doing. I was teaching science, high school chemistry, and science at Sterling High School. I actually had Wilmer's son, Christopher, in my class. And I'm sure that you've all... I'm on tape, and I have to be careful what I say. But I don't know if you've all met Christopher or not, but he didn't blow us up, although I taught him how to. So that was key there. What's that? I haven't been to the right campfire yet. So anyway, been very, very blessed to be to have had significant influence in my life from Wilmer, and I'm very appreciative of that. Both he and Julie play a large part of what my faith is made up of today. So excited to share in the SALT series. I've been working ever since I got introduced to that VCL message so many years ago. I quit my day job and went on staff with VCL and have been on staff ever since. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody to do it that way. I quit without raising any support and just trusted the... I mean, I would definitely recommend trusting the Lord, but might want to step through it a little differently. But we've been in ministry ever since then with VCL in various capacities. I worked out of the Rock Falls office for 5 years with Wilmer under his direction. And then we actually went back to Africa. My wife and I had been to Africa early in our marriage for 1 year. And we went back to Africa, to Uganda. Did we do something different there? Okay. To Uganda, and continued the training and seminars of the truth that's contained here with pastors and leaders in Uganda for 2 years. And then we came back to the U.S. and spent 5 years at the headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, headquarters of VCL. And then we've recently, 18 months ago, moved back to the area and now live in Morrison. So that's a little bit of our story. I brought my tribe plus one. We have a friend with us, but we have 6 kids. But I didn't bring my wife. She's actually helping a lady have a baby. So that's where she is. She left at about midnight. So I don't know when she'll be back, but hopefully soon. So we're going to start. We're going to go into lesson two. I don't know if Wilmer has given any instructions. My instructions are going to be that you're probably going to get bored if you follow along page by page, because that's what I'm going to be saying. I would recommend you drawing the diagram as I draw it. So I would recommend that you either have a blank sheet. I think he or Julie, whoever makes up the bulletin, put space in there for that. So you got space for that to draw the diagram as I go. My kids are showing me that's what they're going to do. Such obedience. Look at that. There's another one showing me what they're going to do. Or you can have your blank page in your book, which is on page 30. So I think you're done for that. You want to go to the next, see what the next screen says. Oh, so we can go back. But you can put that down if you want, because we're not going to advance the slides. I told Wilmer that I would gladly, use the PowerPoint for my lesson. He knows that I prefer to draw on the board, but I do it frequently with PowerPoint. I helped build the PowerPoint. But anyway, This is the result of the fact that he wanted a whiteboard. That's a big whiteboard. You could do a lot of doodling on that. That's a big whiteboard. So I don't know if he built it himself, but that's the result of somebody else coming in and him wanting to put up a whiteboard. So you can draw on your page there or in your book. We started off the spiritual area of life talking about who I'm not. One of the best ways to define things is to define them with a negative. You start off by saying, this is not this, that, or the other. So that's what last week was, is understanding my spiritual life includes understanding who I'm not. And who I'm not is God. And you spend some time looking at that. Then this week we're going to go into a positive. Then next week is another negative. I am not my flesh. But this week is I am in Christ. I am not God the Father. I'm not supposed to. I wasn't built. I wasn't designed to do all the things that God is supposed to be doing. I am, but I am in Christ. I have the Christ life in me if, of course, I'm a believer. When I accept him, I am in Christ and he is in me. Okay? The key verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I haven't read them yet, but I have heard from many trusted friends. There's some good books out that have been recently written. Maybe you've read about heaven. I think one by Randy Alcorn and one by one another, but I think one is just called Heaven. But this whole thing about everything becoming new kind of puts me in mind of heaven, where everything is new. So anyway, there's some good books out there that have been recently published in the last couple of years about heaven, if you're interested in such things. But even today, even inside of me right now, everything has been made new. The trouble is it doesn't look new. That's why we have the next lesson, which is I am not my flesh, and we still have these earthly bodies, what the scripture actually calls tents, these earthly tents. So when somebody becomes a believer, when they go from the old to the new, they don't look different. Now, certainly we know of people whose expressions change, their disposition changes, they're more joyful and things like this, but they still have the same body, right? So it's pretty tough to say that person's new because it's the same person on the outside. But Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The question that we need to face this morning, now this lesson certainly is has an evangelistic tone. It is a lesson with a picture that can be used to bring somebody to Christ. I don't know everybody here. Maybe not everybody has been brought to Christ, but this one certainly has that. But it has a second meaning. It has a second intent, and that is to demonstrate, to explain what it means to be in Christ. What happened when I came to be in Christ? Basically, before Christ, the Scripture says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. I was just having a discussion with some Christian friends, actually, who we were talking about, you know, that God loves the world and, you know, he doesn't have any enemies. And I said, wait a minute, no, wait a minute. Scripture is pretty clear that before we come to him, we are his enemies. Because when Satan did what he did, he became, Scripture says, he became God's enemy. And all the people who are not following God are following Satan. There are no in-betweens. This is a hard truth, but that's what the Scripture says. Those who don't know the Lord are His enemies. Now, the other, we all know John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world." Okay, and there, you know, this person I was speaking with was saying, "Yeah, that's yeah, He loves the world. That's why they, you know, the world can't be His enemy." So, no. Who are we to love? It's easy to love a friend. Who are we to love? Our enemies. So it's the same at this. Simultaneously, God loves the world that contains His enemies. He's hoping that all would come to Him. So let's look at what this looks like in a diagram fashion. Okay. Before we come to Christ, we are born physically into Adam. Okay, so we're going to draw a line diagram down here. Okay, I don't think I'm going to use this whole board, but we're going to use, you know, a fair part of it as you plot out how you draw yours there. Okay, so we have the word, we have the name Adam. Okay, we are born into Adam. And the Scripture is clear. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin." So draw your arrow down and write the word death. Okay? "Just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And death spread to all men because all sinned." Okay? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So on this line, we need to find out where we are. So to start drawing some squares or circles back or down from Adam. Okay? We know the wages of sin is death. And in here, draw a little stick figure, and this is you. Of course, you might want arms. There we go. This is you. I have my tech. You know, my tech. This is. If he wasn't here, we wouldn't have that. Probably. Okay. I'm telling you right now. There, right there. Okay. I'd still be sweating. Like, okay. No. No. That's one. Oh, function F8. No. It's function F7. No. I don't know. He got it. And now I need my artist up here, which would be Hannah could draw it better than me. It wouldn't be a stick figure. It'd be, you know. But this is you. Now, we're talking about before you met the Lord, okay? Before one is in Christ, we're all born in Adam. We can trace our heritage. So these dots are generations back to Adam. Some of us have more dots than others, but, you know, they're all generations back, right? Because I'm a child of Adam, I have the identity of sinner. And now this is a key point here. Because I trace my lineage back to Adam, my identity is sinner before I come to Christ. Okay? I can't change that identity no matter how hard I try. I can't do a bunch of good works and change my identity. Until I come to Christ, my identity, because of Adam, is sinner. Okay? I am God's enemy, and death is my future. Eternal death, not just physical death. We're all going to face physical death, unless the Lord returns while we're living. But okay, this death is not physical death. This is eternal death. Okay, the enemies of God are sinners on their way to eternal death. The good news is that there is a different line, there is a different life to enter into. So I want you to draw an intersecting line. Okay, intersecting line, the life. This is the line of life. So we have a green marker here. Looks like he might have. There's no purple. We could have drawn a royal line. Okay, this is the line of life. And we draw a cross here, of course, representing Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the line of life. So you write eternal life. The life of Christ has no beginning and no ending. It always was. So we have the arrows. We can make these, we have arrowheads, maybe make those bigger to emphasize that point. Okay? It has, his life has no beginning and no ending. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? The good news is that he came to take my punishment for my sins. That's what he did. Right? We know the story. That's what he did. He came to take my punishment for my sins. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay, that's the amazing love part. He came while we were still sinners. We didn't clean up our act. We couldn't do anything. No matter what we did, we couldn't get out of this line of death. So, what is my part? Okay, to escape this line of death, Jesus came and paid the price. What is my part? To escape this line of death, I look back at the cross. Okay, I look back at the cross. And my part, your part, is to believe. Write the word believe. Romans 3:25, for God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins. To satisfy God's anger against us, we are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. So this is the critical point for evangelism. Okay? For those who have not come to Christ, this is the part. Your part is to believe that you are a sinner on your way to eternal death and punishment because of the sins that that we commit. And my part is to believe that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He always was. And that he died. He came to earth, died, and paid the price for my sins. And I just need to believe that that is true. All right? Now, when I do this, when my part is to believe, God's part, draw a little arrow down, we're going to put a new you, okay? Now we'll go ahead and put that in red. There's a new you, okay? Because God's part, according to Colossians 1:13, which is one of my favorite verses, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. God's part is to transfer. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of light. Transfer us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So I was on my way to eternal death. Upon belief, God's part is to transfer me into eternal life. Okay? Now this is, from this point, we probably said, yeah, we understand that. Maybe you may or may not have thought about it in this kind of a diagram fashion. This is what happened when you believed. God took you out of one kingdom, literally, and put you in a new kingdom. This is now why we say we're aliens in this world. We're citizens of heaven. We have a new citizenship. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again says, for old things have passed away, all things have become new. Okay, so what's new? What happened? We literally get born again, Scripture says. We're born again. I like the way the New Living reads with 1 Peter 1:23. The New Living Translation says, for you have been born again. Your new life did not come from your earthly parents, because the life they gave you will end in death. But this new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Okay? You're born again. There's a phrase out there that came some time ago, many years ago. Everybody has the choice. You can be born once in Adam, physically, to die twice, which is physical death and eternal death. Or you can be born twice, physically and spiritually, to die once. Physically, that's all. Because now we are in eternal life. And remember, it had no beginning and no ending. So I'm going to just go ahead and play this little theological game here. When did your eternal life start? So when did your eternal life start? What are you saying?
The day you were born.
Okay. What are you saying? Salvation. Okay. Okay. It's a little theological thing to think about here. Okay. Eternity has no beginning. So your eternal life never started. Okay. It never had a starting point, or it wouldn't be eternal. You entered it at salvation. Okay? You entered that line, right? Let's think about the Mississippi River. Okay? If you jumped in to the Mississippi River, would you say the river started because I jumped in? No, it started way back there. You just jumped. That's the point you jumped into the life. That's the point you jumped into the line. That makes sense? It didn't start there. You entered it there. Because it's eternal. Therefore, eternal life is now. That's really the more critical point. Okay? Eternal life is now. Which I wish I would live that way more often. Okay? I wish I would live with that reality in my mind way more often. That eternal life is now. I'm not waiting to enter it. It doesn't start when I get to heaven. It's now, because it's eternal. It didn't have. I'm living it now. So the relationships I build now with believers are eternal. And the relationships that I destroy have eternal implications. Because eternal life is, I'm living eternity right now. The people who are also in Christ, those relationships are eternal. We're going to know each other for eternity. Now, we understand that there's physical limitations of being on earth. So, as a result of this experience, you know, we're probably not going to be in, you know, intimate relationship now that we've met, because we still have the earth geography and friendships and family connections. Okay? But the relationships that you do have with other believers are eternal. The only thing the Scripture says is that there won't be marriage. So I won't be married to my wife, but we will have relationship as brother and sister in Christ, and as well as all of our other relationships. Okay, so you're in Christ. Eternal life is now. Okay? I'm living it right. If I'm in Christ, I'm living eternal life right now. I've been born again. I have a new future. My future is not eternal death, it's eternal life. My future, and I have a new past, okay? This is not my past anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't do what I did in my past. I still have done what I've done. But this is no longer the important line in my life. This is the line. When I look back, it's Christ. It's not Adam. Okay? So I don't have to... though. So I've been forgiven. Okay? I've been forgiven because of Christ on the cross. I no longer need to wallow, to bring up past sins. They've been forgiven. This isn't my past. I have a new past. I have a new future. I have a new present, eternal life. Okay? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. My sinful past is wiped out. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13, Paul keeps saying it. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead. So, we need to stop spending any time condemning ourselves over past sins. Paul says, forget this past. Look to what lies ahead. Now, in that forgetting, I may need to go walk through forgiveness, walk through repentance and things like that. But then forget it. It's over. Look ahead at your new future. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I am God's child, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So I get a new past, new future, new present. I'm God's child. I'm no longer his enemy. I'm his child. He calls me friend, in fact. Child, you know, I'm in the family, and he calls me his friend. Now, here's one that just kind of, you know, again, if I would just wrap this around in my mind, I would live differently. And I confess that I don't wrap it around in my mind enough. Romans 8:17 says, and since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. So everything Jesus gets, we either got or are getting. Right? We're not in heaven yet. Right? At least I don't think this is heaven. I don't think. Yeah, okay, I got confirmation. Where there's two, you know, one or two witnesses. Okay. We've either got it or we're getting it. Okay? So, the maker of heaven and earth, the possessor of all there is, the one who can do whatever he wants, is giving his inheritance to whom? His family. That's us. Okay? Therefore, I do not need to strive to get anything. Now, it doesn't mean I can't have possessions, but how do I hold them? Because I'm about to receive a treasure that nobody can imagine. So there's no point whatsoever in linking any of my affections to any treasure on earth. Does this make sense? His child, I get to inherit everything that his son is inheriting. I'm no longer God's enemy, I'm his friend. Romans 5:10 and 11. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. In Christ, I have a new identity. We have a phrase in here that says, in Christ, I have it made. You ever heard the phrase, you know, that guy's got it made? What does that mean when you hear that? What does that mean? He's got everything. Is he worried about stuff? He's got no worries. It's easy. in Christ, you really have it made. It's already done. I have it made. I don't need anything else. The question is, do I live like I have it made? No, I don't. I keep striving for stuff. I keep trying to make a, to be somebody, to be something, to do something. In Christ, you have it made. I have it made. There isn't anything else necessary. Do we live like the earthly people who we consider have it made? I'm not talking like the high life, but mentally, okay? If they really have it made, they're not worried. If I really have it made, am I worrying? I really do have it made, but why do I worry? Okay? My new identity, I have it made. All whatever identities I was, and we'll talk about this in the group, so we'll finish here. But any identities that we've been holding on to, we need to get rid of, both bad ones and good ones. And we'll talk about this, but let's just finish up with what Paul says about this in Philippians 3:7-9. Philippians 3:7-9. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless. All of his old, former, credible and noteworthy identities, things that he's done, I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Your identity in Christ will endure and cannot be taken away. So we want to personally apply this truth as we go into our group time of about a half an hour from now or so, and ask ourselves, are we living like we're in Christ?